This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's part two. It's part two of The Push. Remember, that's a song by The Cure. And your cure for a sad, boring day is Grey's Academy and your two hosts, Carmen and Kelsey. And something that we start part two with every episode is a thing that we do that Kelsey is going to explain to us. And then I'm going to yell something into the microphone. And then she's going to talk again. That's kind of how things go here. So,
we're walking Kelsey, everybody through that.
I just want to make sure everyone knows what's happening. So, with that being said, I'm gonna stop talking for just 1 second.
Just a singular second. Wait, where'd my notes go? We're gonna start with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
Today we have three Shondalandians.
Okay. Okay, three. Audrey.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's think. So the kid, the parents, Don. Those are the big ones, right? Those are the big characters. Was there another? What else happened?
You are missing an entire case.
Yeah, I know, but what was the other case? The dude with no heart. Okay, no. Oh, his heart's in his butt. So that dude and is it not in his butt?
No.
His heart's in his lower leg toe.
It's in his foot. It's in his vagina.
And then that terrible, terrible girlfriend.
Are you kidding me?
No, she sucked.
Oh my God.
Oh, she's okay. So she's for sure another living in. I'm making a guess. She's another living in Shondaland.
She's definitely not.
Damn it. All right. No, she was terrible though. You like her?
You think Todd was the correct person?
No, they both were garbage.
Okay,
more garbage.
I disagree.
Anyways. His heart was in his butt.
That's why he sucked so much.
Okay, the dude, no heart dude?
No.
Don?
No.
The kid?
No.
The parents?
Yes.
Gosh, fuck. I started so good. Oh, Audrey, God. Check. Everyone else in the episode,
wrong. Well, and then you
wrong.
Listed the kid and his parents and then didn't guess them until just
I guessed
now.
Them last. I thought it was going to be, okay, all right, whatever. All right, I lose. I lose Shondaland.
Yeah, not a win today for Shondaland. Okay, so Diane Verona, Venora,
my
actually.
Verona.
I was wildly incorrect. It's Venora.
Why my Venora? Oh no! What's the Jewish holiday which we celebrate with a Venora?
Oh my God! Okay, she plays Audrey Taylor. She was in one episode of Private Practice.
Ah.
Jeffrey Blake, who plays Jim, one episode of Private Practice. Different episode. Mm. And I believe you'll recall our good friend Moon Unit Zappa. from the pilot episode of Private Practice. And she played the mom, Kelly.
I don't remember.
You don't. We had like a 5-minute conversation about her name.
Her name was Moon Unit Zappa?
Yeah.
This isn't the backdoor pilot? This isn't the episode of Grace?
No, this is the pilot.
I don't remember.
We had a lengthy conversation about her name.
It's a dope name. Strong.
I believe that's what you said the first time.
Still strong. I don't remember. I don't remember this.
Delightful.
I clearly need to rewatch these shows. You, Katie Bryce. That's all I'm going to say.
Penis fish. Am I right?
It's true. Who is that?
Brianna?
Jennings?
Oh, Jennings. Brianna was the person that I think we said it a lot when her kids were in the car. And then someone else, she said it out loud at the store, or someone else said it out. Anyways, penis fish. Okay.
That's general penis.
It's hard to say, honestly. Penis fish.
Penis
is hard.
Fish.
It wants to be said as penis fish.
Well, the problem is that I want to just eat Swedish fish.
You know what? Multiple times this week, I have sent you things on Instagram and you have posted them to your story. And when I tell you, there is no greater high than sending someone something on Instagram and having them post it to their story. That is a high I will be chasing until these apps cease to exist. Because I'm just like, I'm like, yes, I have one friendship today. I knew them so well. I sent them this and they put it in their story. And now I am the victor.
the one with Shakespeare where it was, yeah. Where art thou? And
where
I'm so sorry.
And I'm so sorry. I like that.
A lot of people really liked that post too. I got a lot of good likes off of that.
You're
one.
So welcome.
Thank you. Everyone, shout out to Kelsey. The
and then
real
also the
MVP.
Kate Middleton I sent you, where it was like Kate Middleton in 14 Mountain Dews deep in the middle of a World of Warcraft raid. Just Photoshop me in.
I'm in the middle of a raid. It would have been funnier if you were quoting StarCraft or Diablo, but Warcraft's still in the Blizzard family. It was good. That's good.
Anyways, I just had to tell you that.
Yeah. All right. And then with that ending and the Shondaland thing, we should talk about something else then too, right? What other storyline do we need to talk about? I forgot about the dude with no heart.
Well, let's start with him.
All right.
So Todd comes in because he's having trouble breathing and Jackson can't find his heartbeat. And Alex like, wow, you're such a fucking moron. And then Alex also can't find his heartbeat. And they page Teddy.
Jackson goes, who's the fucking moron now?
They page Teddy and she's like, well, your heart's in your kidney, which is different than your butt.
Well,
but not
close.
By much.
Yeah, close.
Your heart's down by your kidney because when he was 9, he had his lung removed. Now, you might say to yourself, why would someone have their lung removed? And I would tell you, this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Ah, incredible. Both of our fan favorite sections in part 2 of this episode, and within 10 minutes of each other? Wow.
Yeah, we're starting off strong part 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Why might I need a pneumonectomy? Pneumonectomy is where they take your lung out, right? Now, typically, I feel like when you are in medical shows, they talk a lot about lung transplants. I don't feel like they throw around pneumonectomies a lot. And I have to assume it's because probably of the two, it's the less ideal choice. Because if you could have two lungs, that feels ideal. So the most common reason is lung cancer. Now, they don't say, I went back, they don't say why he had a pneumonectomy. They just said when he was 9, he had one. So I don't know. Lung cancer is the most common cause to have a pneumonectomy. Healthcare providers usually try to remove as little as possible of the lung tissue. Lungs are regenerative to a certain extent, obviously. So if they can just take off like parts that have been negatively impacted by tumors, then they can potentially heal kind of in a way. So it also says you might need a pneumonectomy. This is also from Johns Hopkins, this research. You might need a pneumonectomy if a smaller surgery would not be able to remove all of the cancer. Some cancers located near the center of the lung also need a pneumonectomy instead of a smaller surgery. Pneumonectomies also could be needed for these lung diseases, a traumatic lung injury, pulmonary tuberculosis, fungal infections of the lung, bronchiectasis, congenital lung disease, bronchial blockage with a destroyed lung, and pulmonary mastasis, which is cancer that has spread to the lungs from other places in the body. So that is why you might need a pulmonectomy. And it's rare, but sometimes they can do a pulmonectomy like with a scope, because
a pulmonectomy or a pneumonectomy?
Pneumonectomy. They can do a pneumonectomy with a scope sometimes. Typically, they have to like crack your chest or crack your rib, like crack the side or go in through the chest and take it out. But apparently, sometimes now they can do a super small incision and take it out like with a little like guy.
Yeah. Little suction tube.
Little guy. Just a little guy.
And they referred to the actual situation where the heart moved as post pneumonectomy syndrome.
Yes.
So that is a great clarification that the pneumonectomy is the removal of the lung and mm-hmm. the heart moving is a syndrome of the removal of the lung.
Yes, this is something that can happen because the lung, specifically in his scenario, they took out the left one, which is makes sense. The heart would move because that's right there. It would be weird if they took out his right one and then the heart moved over because that's not in the same place.
Right.
And this actually most people can get by with only one lung if the existing lung is healthy, which I find shocking.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. That's,
know, good to know.
That was something that I learned very early on in my days of investigating the black market and selling some of my organs.
You could live. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. Live with one kidney, live with one lung. You could donate part of your liver and you only need one of your hearts.
How many do you have of those?
I can't tell you for legal reasons. I don't want people to think that they can harvest my organs.
But you just said you're going to sell them.
At least one.
At least one.
Well, yeah, less, but I don't want...
More than zero, less than two.
Yeah.
That's good stuff about a pneumonectomy.
Yeah. Thank you for teaching us, because we shan't forget that this is a teaching hospital, damn it. So thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So back on Todd. So Todd, his heart is in his bottom.
But,
And they're like, well, we can fix it with saline implants. And he's mildly sexist and wildly offended by that concept. So he sucks.
I didn't understand. I was like, what's the problem? You're not going to get tits. You're not getting a fake breast augmentation. This is going inside your chest cavity.
Yeah, and he was like, how am I supposed to explain that? And I'm like, you just don't.
No one will ask.
Yeah, just like don't tell people about it.
Do you walk around telling people you have one lung? Just keep that conversation close to your chest. No pun intended as well.
Yeah, it's confusing. And then he's basically like, how am I supposed to pick up the bitches?
Yeah.
And then girlfriend Molly's offended, which feels fair.
Yeah.
But she would be offended by that.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. She immediately is like, I'm sorry, because she was like, oh, you're just being dramatic because I asked you to move in with me and it gave you an anxiety attack. So when they're like, your heart's not in the right place, she's like, that's on me. My bad. You do have something wrong with you. And so she's like, that's so sorry. And then he immediately is like, oh, I'm going to go back to giving her a reason to be mad. Since that first one, she shouldn't have been mad. I'm going to give her a real reason to be mad now.
Yeah, this is a lot of give and take on the anger department for sure. And then later on, though, when he's talking to Teddy, he's like, you think I'm a turd, don't you? And she's like, no, I don't think you're a turd, but you are a bitch. they're something, those two.
Yeah.
Molly and Todd.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know that they should be together. They don't feel like I don't know that he feels like he's in a spot to be in a committed relationship from the little bit of back and forth we get from him.
Yeah.
That's just kind of my opinion on that.
So the most kind of exciting point of this episode for this storyline mm-hmm. is there's dialogue. We'll get to Mark and Teddy specifically later, like their storyline. But he goes and he's eyeballing the saline, and she's like, "You're just gonna like do this?" And he's like, "Yeah, this is what I do. I'm just gonna do it." And he does it. And then all of a sudden he starts beeping like things are going to go crazy. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're killing him." He's like, no. This, everyone needs to relax. Take a chill pill. We're good. And then they are good. But also that scene where he goes to get something from Alex and Alex flinches. He's like, "Dude, what do you think I'm going to do? Stab you?" Yes, Mark. Everyone in the hospital thinks you're going to stab Alex because of the way you've carried yourself for the last 48 hours in this fake Shonda time. And then it fixed, and then the beeping stops, and he gives the ultimate mic drop of, "Oh, that incredible work I just did? Just my hobby."
Professionally, really? I like to focus on my work as a male escort. Fucking love him. That is so funny.
It is so good. He's hilarious. I mean, he's being petty, but it is funny.
It is funny. And it's deserved. Okay, so let's rewind. Because we wind up here because at the beginning of the episode, he's being so fucking hot and doing push-ups in his apartment shirtless. Although he is wearing jeans, which is very bizarre.
I thought you were going to say he was hot because of all the Chinese food he was eating. That, to me, did it for me. Like, eat the Chinese food.
So Callie comes in and is like, "This is sad. Like, you're just being sad now. Stop that." And he's like, "Well, I'm lonely, and you and Derek won't let me fuck all the strangers that come into the hospital."
Woe is me.
And she's like, "Yeah, I don't think I'm going to apologize for that."
Which is fair.
Then she's like, "Why don't you just like do the adult thing of finding someone who wants the same things as you and then dating them?" He's like, "Ooh, doesn't sound great, but okay." So then fast forward when Teddy asks, so uncomfy, Teddy goes up to him and is like, "I want to talk to you about breast implants." And he's like, "Oh, that's good for you. You know,
I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a while.
I thought that would be a good idea." Mark, come on. Like, I love Mark, but come on, dude. That is not the vibe.
This whole episode, he's like when in Austin Powers, when they go back in time and he's frozen and they take the syringe and they steal his mojo out of him and he doesn't even know how to talk to people. This is Mark that entire episode. Mark doesn't know how to have a conversation at all with women.
See, I don't know. I feel like, okay, he's not set up for success because Callie and Arizona have the same idea in different fonts.
Yes.
So they, you know, it's going to be hard. Yes, I will say, obviously, he puts his foot directly in his mouth.
Both of them.
By
both
being
feet.
Like, I think you should definitely get breast implants. Good for you. And
but
like,
I didn't think you had the guts.
She's like, "No, I was talking about my patient." He was like, "Great. Love that for me." And Callie tells him like, "Oh, that's who you should ask out." And he's like, "I just don't feel like that's going to happen right now."
And he even asks her, he's like, "So dinner probably out of the question." She's like, "Yeah.
Yeah. You think?" Yeah. So then he does the surgery, you know, and he just kind of eyeballs it. Before that, Teddy goes to Arizona and it's like, "Mark just asked me out. That's weird." And Arizona's like, "No, that's good. Like, you should just fuck him and like, yay, sex, and then move on."
What does she say? He's like candy. You just eat it and forget about it.
Like, is that what candy is? Because for me, candy's like a meal.
Eat it
like,
and
fully
then keep
part
eating it.
Of, yeah, just like the main source of my food. So
which candy do we need to stock up on this weekend? Do we need to get, we need to probably get some penis fish,
treats.
Right?
Treats, penis fish. I've been just downing bags of Hershey's Kisses with almonds.
Yeah, well, we don't need that in my house.
Well,
we can get that
you
for
don't
you.
Need to eat it. That's what
That's
I'm saying.
Fair. Yeah. You know what I would get though? I would get the cookies and cream Hershey's Kisses.
I do also love those, and I love
those
the
are
hugs.
Bomb. hugs. Oh, yes. Those are the swirl mm-hmm, ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good. Nuts just don't go in desserts.
Sorry.
Nuts just don't belong in treat.
Donut is not food. It is treat.
Was it food or it's not breakfast?
No,
was
he
it,
said food.
Food.
Michael said, I need some food. And I said, have a donut. And he said, donut is not food. Donut is treat.
Donut is donut treat.
Literally.
Remember like when we went to the grand opening of a fucking Krispy Kreme? Like,
yes.
True Floridians.
Remember when we also went to Krispy Kreme in London?
Ugh, true Americans.
So
they're syncing up. Cali and Arizona are synced up.
So good. What a great idea. I definitely do that. That'll like solve all of your problems. And so then Teddy goes back to Mark. He says, oh, I've got the implants or whatever. And she's like, oh, do you want to scrub in? And then turns out I am available tonight. And he's like, oh, great. Like, let's go to this Italian place. And she's like, no, like just go to Joe's for drinks and then nudity. Right. And he's like, no, I want to take you to dinner. And she's like, I just thought maybe we could have meaningless sex and then never see each other again. He was like,
except this hospital that we work at together and we work all the time.
And have many, many babies.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, it's kind of the exact opposite of what happens with Bailey and Ben, where they like explicitly speak out their thoughts and feelings and communicate it well. And Teddy and Mark just keep bumbling through awkwardly and not saying things in full sentences.
Yeah.
It's unpleasant to watch, but also very funny.
We also should probably, if we're gonna kind of combine these two storylines, which is totally fine, it makes sense. That first interaction where Mark is having the breast implant conversation with Teddy, and Callie calls him over and is like, "Yeah, do it. All right, dismissed, Dr. Sloan." That after that scene is mm-hmm. when Owen goes to Mark and is like, "Dude, like Teddy is a classy."
No, it was woman. After he sure? tries to ask her to dinner and she's like, no, I just wanted to have the drinks.
Oh, it was that scene there.
Then he goes
there.
To Mark. Okay, you're right, like, you're right. Teddy's you're right, like not, you know, just like all these right. other bitches. And Mark's like, you know what? This might surprise you, but I was actually being the good person this time. So why don't you talk to her about the way we're treating people?
Yeah.
And that's when Meredith's like, I fucking see you, Owen, with your bullshit.
Yeah. Fucking Owen, if that even is your real name. Owen, more like blowing it with Christina.
Okay. So yeah, lots of silliness with that.
And the surgery is a success. We skip forward to the part where Mark saves the day.
Wait. Oh. In the lunchroom, when Mark is, well, Callie and Arizona are sitting there and Mark sits down. And they like realize that they've had the same thought about Teddy. And then Alex comes over and is like, oh, Dr. Altman says to tell you the surgery is at 2. And Mark stands up and is like, thanks, you're a good man, Grav.
And Alex well, yeah, because like, he just tells them, he's like, I don't want just sex. He goes and he tells Callie, yeah, it's the weirdest thing. She just wants to fuck. And Arizona's like, isn't that good? And he's like, no, I'm a changed man.
Oh, yeah. He's like, who treats people like that? And she goes, you.
You
treat people like that.
And he goes, that was the old Mark. He's gone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll prove it by giving an attaboy to Alex Karev, the man that I have shit on for so long now because mm-hmm. my ex-girlfriend is boning him, even though I've had sex with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Maturity.
so true. So yeah, then he does that to Alex and then Lexi goes to talk to Alex. And he's like, don't talk to me. Mark's about to fucking murder me in front of everybody.
He just got an alibi where he liked me, so he won't even be a witness anymore.
And then sorry, my eye. Lexi's like, oh well, I'll talk to him. And Alex is like, don't do that. He's gonna murder us all. So Lexi is still under the impression that, you know, Mark is like, you know, all upset and really wants her still. And that's when she has the table scene where she's like, he just can't move on. Like, it was good that we broke up, like, why can't he just move on? Which, here's the thing. It was sad that they broke up, but it was, she's right. It was right that they broke up. They didn't want the same things. Or if they did, they weren't on the same timeline.
You know, a wise man once said, it's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's right. Yeah. I hope you had the time.
You had the time of your life.
Your life, yes.
Yeah.
Wise man. I think it was Confucius said that.
It might have been that.
No.
It might have been the Dalai Lama or the Green Day.
The Green Day, yes. Reverend Billy Joe Armstrong.
So then they do the surgery, yeah, and everything's fine. And Mike drops his way out with his male escort line.
For sure, the line of the episode, I think.
Yeah, so good. And then Lexi. No, that's not right. Oh, sorry. Oh, God, there's just something in my eye. Oh, my God.
I think that after that, that's the scene where they go and Teddy tells Molly that she's fine, that he's fine. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, does he even want to see me? And then we get the kind of this weird line of when you think you love someone more than they love you, it kind of makes you do crazy things.
Yeah.
And that is what was happening where I guess we're led to believe that Molly loves Todd more than Todd loves her.
Or, okay, here's the thing. The way Teddy phrases it is when you love someone more than you think they love you. So she's not saying you love him more than he loves you. She's saying you feel like you love him more than he loves you.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily the case. We don't know for sure, but like it's again, it comes down to communication and like, yeah, they're together, but clearly Todd is like not in, he doesn't, if he's worried about picking up women, then he doesn't like see a future with her. He sees himself picking up other women.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, there's like no closure on that relationship. So it's very confusing. But
he lives.
Yep.
Another liver.
Another liver.
Another liver.
So then Teddy goes back to Mark and is like, I would love to have dinner. And he's like, actually, we should do lunch, because at some point in between, Callie gave him more advice and was like, you should do lunch and get to know people. He's like, well, that's not romantic. And she's like, that's not where you're at anymore.
Wait, hold on. There's another part of that that I want to really talk through, because it's really, I think, just it's so sweet. And again, we talk about their friendship a lot, but this kind of, I think, sums it up. She's like, you've got skills. Yes.
Yeah, she's like how are you so unconfident? And you're just like, you have no self-confidence, like, outside of sex.
And that's when she's like, but, like, don't worry. Like, you've got skills. You're good at sex. But, like, you're also a good person. Yeah. And when she says, you're worth getting to know in the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
So sweet. Mm-hmm. You're not just a man of the night, Mark Sloan.
You're not a male escort.
You are a man of the night, but you're also a man of the day.
Mm-hmm. Just regardless a man of all hours.
A man of all hours, regardless of the way they're painting you in Euphoria, you're good. You're a good person.
So yeah,
I like that. That was a very sweet.
It was
scene
a very
for them.
Good scene for them. So yeah, then Teddy goes back and he's like, "This is, you know, I." He's like, he does lay it all out in the end. You know, it is more clear communication. He's like, "I would like us to go to lunch, take a walk, talk about what we want, and make sure we're like aligned, because I want to build a future with someone, and I don't really want to waste any time." And she's like, well, okay.
Yeah, he says.
And Alex sees that. That's important.
Yeah. And he's just like sitting there kind of being a doof in the background, like, oh, that's so weird. Adults hitting on each other. He says, we're going to do lunch in the day. In public. We'll walk a crowded street, see if we have a future together, because I want a life and a family. I'm not wasting my time. And if we don't sync up. I'm not wasting my time if we don't sync up. Pick you up at noon. And Teddy just gives the...
Okay.
Well, okay then.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes. Yes, King.
So...
It's sweet. It is sweet.
It is very sweet. And yeah, then Alex sees and tells... Or Lexi asks Alex later... You know, was Mark nice? And he's like, yeah, I actually think like he's getting over it. Like, I saw him hitting on Teddy afterwards. I think they're going to go out. And he's like, well, yeah. Lexi says, oh, yeah, well, he'll sleep with anybody. But he's not really into her. And Alex is like, I don't know. It seemed pretty real. And Lexi's like, oh, that's great. And then she goes into the bathroom and cries. And it's so sad. It really broke my heart for her.
It's, again, I know we talked about kind of like the relationship stages of grief and everything, right? She finally is realizing that the moving on is happening. And you bring up a good point that I wanted to circle back to, because up until this physical moment in time, she is operating under the assumption that she is she's like, oh, I'm good. I'm moving on. He's the one in the past. Like, he's the one who's clamoring and flailing and just like fucking everything to get over me.
Right.
And now he actually is. And she is now having to come to that realization and understand that, like, okay, this is where we're at. And I'm sad now because of it.
And for the most part, I really thought Meredith was doing a good job in this episode. And in this scene, I was like, could you do anything to comfort your sister?
Please? Anything.
I mean, you're standing as far away as you humanly can stand away from her. She is on the bathroom floor crying, and you're like, oh, I'm sad for you. But you're not doing it. Like, just go over and put a hand on her. Like, yeah, they're not like, they don't need to be hugging, but she could go over and just like kind of pat her on the back.
Any physical contact in that moment would have just been nice. Anything.
Yeah, it just broke my heart for Lexi.
Yeah.
Because again, it's back to like, it's not what anyone wanted, but it's what had to happen.
Yeah.
So sad.
It's also sad because we need to take a moment and let our sponsors talk to you all for a minute. But so just know, sad. We're going to be thinking of, while they talk to you, we're going to be thinking of you. And we'll be right back. I thought about you all so much.
I was so sad.
Yeah. But now we're happy.
Yay. Okay, so should we wrap it up with Noah? Or do you have anything else on the Mark, Teddy?
I just want to say, I mean, I think I have a couple of the thoughts that I want to talk about with Teddy, specifically the Teddy and Callie. Well, we'll also talk about Callie has her own storyline with Arizona. Mm-hmm. But with Teddy and Mark, I'm going to officially make a prediction that they're going to get married.
Okay.
But they're going to have 12 kids in one pregnancy.
Wow. That would be the world record.
This show is all about breaking records and saying that once things can't be done, we're going to do them.
They do often say that's never been done before. They said it in this episode.
Yep. And here we go. 12 kids in one body.
Is that season 6 finale or?
The pregnancy will be announced season 6 finale, but the wedding will take place in season 10. So they're going to have kids out of wedlock.
Recover from their 12 babies.
Yeah. They're going to hire a nanny. A team of nannies, a baseball team, a roster of 26 to nanny those children.
Okay.
Actual prediction. I do see them. I think they're going to date for a while. I think we're going to have a little bit of a storyline, an age appropriate storyline for Mark and Teddy. Yeah. And it's going to make Owen jealous, and it's going to cause some tension between him and Christina, but Christina's not going to know why, because he's not going to tell her, because he still needs more therapy.
Mm-hmm. As do so many people on this show.
Yes.
Anyways, okay. So, yes. Lexi is sad, and I am sad on her behalf.
Yes. The only thing I wanted to circle back about with the Teddy and Mark storyline was when she does talk about the implants originally, and he says, oh, yeah, totally. That makes sense. I knew from the moment I met you that you should get breast implants. And then when she comes back and he goes, for the record, now that I've talked to Callie, I think you should know that your breasts are fantastic. Wouldn't change a thing.
God, that's so uncomfy. Again, we would say HR?
HR should get involved in that one.
Yeah.
All right. But I think that's all I have for that specific storyline. It's cute. I like it. I'm a fan of Teddy and Mark together. I'm rooting for them. And my official prediction is, they're going to date for a little bit. But it's going to cause some trouble.
Some trouble in the paradise.
Yes. All right. So we got a kid here.
Noah collapsed at the zoo and is in excruciating abdominal pain. And they cannot figure out why. So they like sedate him and they're running all these tests and they cannot figure out why, he is ill. Figure out that he had a cyst that ruptured and he's also going septic because of that. Luckily they're able to fix that with surgery, but they like don't know why it happened, which is terrifying.
Yes.
I feel very sad for these parents. Cause the whole time they're like, what is it? What is it? What is it? Whose fault is it? And Arizona is constantly like, it's no one's fault. It's no one's fault. Like no one knew, it's no one's fault. And like, they're not like, it's clear that the, like the, it's not even like arguing. It's just like scrambling for something to like blame, I think. But it's like very much back and forth between the two of them, but it's not super aggressive. You know what I mean? They're just kind of like in such disbelief and like panic that they're just doing that. Cause they're still like kind of being nice to each other.
Yeah.
Cause the dad's like trying to tell the mom it's not her fault. And then she's like, no, if this was, if you were with him and this happened, I would be so mad at you. And then like, the dad's like, did he fall and you didn't see it? Did he eat something? She's like, I was watching him. Like, I don't understand like what happened. So yeah, it's just sad. Like, and then, thankfully it ends up being okay. But Arizona, when they're in the surgery, and Lexi's like, well, why don't I go update the parents? Cause it's going to take longer. What should I tell them? And Arizona's like, it doesn't matter. They were not going to listen to you. Like, okay.
Which is true. Yeah. It's sweet that she wants to be there and tell them the update. I will say the scene where the mom was like, oh my God, I gave him a bear hug. That's what did it.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's, you know, because you have the scene towards the end where they're actually, and again, this, they have, what annoys me about this storyline is they told the family that the kid was okay and he made it out of surgery with 15 minutes left in the show. I went 15 minutes thinking that this kid was going to die. Every second they're going to pan back to this kid. He's going to fucking die. So thank you. I'm wondering if Chandra was like, I will direct this episode, but I need all these patients to live. You know, it's just funny. So, but when they're like, should we like not hug him? Should we not wrestle him? Like, could this happen again? And Arizona's like, just live life.
Yeah.
If it happens again, we know how to treat it. We know what to happen. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But don't,
it's hard though. I mean,
yeah, you don't put your kid in a bubble. Don't stop loving your kid. This is the reality. So, but it is a sad moment. And as parents, and so many of our listeners and so many of our Patreon patrons are our parents.
Yeah.
And it's just very interesting to hear like different perspectives and you don't know how you're going to handle things. And I'll give you an example. Even just today, I took Marlo to the doctor this morning and it was just for a little bit of a rash around her mouth, which is just because of the saliva buildup, because of her teething and she's got sensitive skin and all that. And even in the moments where you're talking to the doctor, you're like, you're asking for reasons, you're asking for things to change, asking for how can we avoid this from happening in the future? Because sometimes this rash gets really painful and the doctor is just like, don't change anything. You can't, because this is just part of being a kid.
Yeah.
And they're going to have these rashes and it's going to be X, Y, and Z. And just don't stop loving your kid. Don't stop, like, don't do X, Y, and Z. And it's the same thing that Arizona is telling this family here. Don't try to change anything. Just enjoy the moment and we'll take it as we go. It's very important to remember that, I think, for a lot of families.
Yeah. It's also hard because like your instinct is to be like, how can I make sure nothing ever, like, it's like in Nemo. When he says, I promised him I'd never let anything happen to him. And Dory's like, well, you can't never let anything happen to him because then nothing would ever happen to him. Not much fun for little Harpo.
Fabio.
It's just, it's hard. It's a double-edged sword, especially as a parent with just excessive anxiety. It's very hard. to remind myself that my children should be allowed to live and learn on their own.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because that reminded me that I was going to tell you a story about the showering thing. Mm-hmm. So in between episodes, the reason if we do any of these reels with this particular episode, and you see that I'm wearing a hat and my hair is not done is because before this I showered and Marlo and I did shower time. We bathed together and up until having a kid, I told Kelsey that I was going to wear a swimsuit in the shower with my daughter because it felt uncomfortable to me. And I don't. I think most parents listening out there understand that that was kind of a crazy thing to say.
Granted, Marlo is currently just recently too. Obviously, yes. You know.
As
it's kind of one of those things where you have to feel it out as you go.
Yes.
So to speak. Like, yes, you should be comfortable. Yes, your child should be comfortable. Like, everyone should be comfortable. Your spouse should also be comfortable.
Yes. But the thing that makes me not enjoy the shower part is she will sit on the shower floor, mm-hmm. which is gross.
Yeah,
that I don't like.
Luckily, we have a little bench in the shower area.
Well, she plays with the toys on the shower floor.
Yeah, yeah.
She
has the toys on the little bench in our shower, and they can play there. But yes, it is sometimes gross. I'm like, because we also have like a squeegee in the shower because we have the glass.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to like take care of it. And Michael does a better job. I'm just like, I don't care. I'll just wash it. But Scarlett's like, I want to play with that. And I'm like, ew. I mean, I'm like, you have to only touch the handle. Like, don't touch the gross part.
Yeah. Well, Marla wants to lick the glass. And I'm like, yeah, I just need all of this to stop. Yeah.
Then it's like, so, I'm going to drink the shower water, but I'm going to drink it off of the floor. I'm like, no, he doesn't really try to do that, but he is wild.
Yeah.
He's a wild bean.
So that's my current thing I'm trying to get over as a parent.
Yeah.
Germs in general as a parent are hard. It's hard for me to get over. Like, she'll eat food off the ground. I'm trying to get a little bit better with that.
Yeah. I'm not the germaphobe, and I really don't care if we're in our home. I'm like, eat the food off my floor, because I know that I Swiffer and vacuum like at least once a day. But now that we have Watson, Michael's like, they can't eat anything off the floor. If a spoon falls on the floor, they need a new spoon. And I'm like,
yeah, I agree with Michael. I agree with Michael regardless. Yep.
I do it because it's not worth the fight, but I'm like, I don't agree. But yeah, it is interesting. But we let our children live their lives.
Yeah.
But it is hard.
If they have ruptured liver cysts, we will know. We'll tackle it from there. So Callie, her storyline in this episode.
She's making cartilage from nothing. Well, from Jell-O.
Yeah.
And she's
from
on
the store. From a box of Jell-O.
Box of Jell-O. Lemon flavored. So she keeps getting like really close and really close. And obviously everyone keeps paging her and needing a lot of help with their lives. Bailey's paging her, Mark's paging her. The intern, she says, are bothering her. So she goes, she finally gets it when Arizona's in there, and she's like, oh my God, it worked. And Arizona says, well, what did you do? And she's like, I don't know. I have to like do it again. She's like going through all of her stuff. She's like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, I can't believe I did this. Like, I've had this breakthrough. And also like, everyone came to me today. Like, I'm the sane one in a great relationship, and people come to me for advice, like Mark, Bailey. And you know, I can just see us, like, we're amazing together. I can just see us 10 years from now with our kids, like running around in this big house, and Mark's still single. And Arizona's like, yeah, that sounds great, but I definitely don't want kids.
It's a point of contention, clearly.
Yeah.
Because it gets real awkward real fast. And she's like, well, no, you love kids. You're in peds. She's like, yeah, love kids. They're great. I don't want them.
Yeah. She's like, I mean, I just saw these parents today. Now they're all sad all the time because they hugged their kid too tight. And he went to the hospital because of it.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't really live in my life that way.
This is one of those times where it feels like maybe that conversation should have come up sooner.
I agree.
And I feel bad because now they're going to break up. They're going to break up. I'm officially predicting that Callie and Arizona are going to break up.
When?
Within the next 4 episodes. They're on a crash course for destiny, and their destiny is breakup. I don't, that is not one of those things people recover from. I have seen, that is just a foundational thing that you can't see eye to eye. And the thing is it's not fair to find a compromise because it will turn to resentment. There is no compromise between having kids and not having kids.
Yeah.
It's you have to be in alignment with someone on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's definitely, there's a, like, I would say in a relationship, you can there's so much you can compromise on, but that definitely is one that it's really like either you're asking someone to have a kid, which is a huge life change, or you're asking someone to give up on ever having children, which is a huge sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like beyond a sacrifice, honestly. Like it's just one of those things where, you know, if you aren't aligned, what then?
Yeah. And you can have the conversation of, I want kids, but I don't want to birth a kid. Mm-hmm. That's a conversation you can have because there's other forms of, fertilization and growing a family. There's adoption processes. But I know people in my personal life who have broken up because they don't want kids and their partner did.
Yeah.
And they found partners who didn't want kids and they're happy.
Yeah.
That's what you deserve. You know, it's not like having a disagreement on wanting to move or like be live in the city or live in the suburbs. Like you can do both. You can get the best of both worlds. You can get an apartment downtown and Airbnb it, and you could live in the, you could do things like that, but you can't just have a kid sometimes and not the other times.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, so it's sad. So I'm officially predicting that they're going to break up. They're not getting over it.
And how does that make you feel?
I'm sad. I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that someone who works in pediatrics doesn't want kids.
Yeah.
But especially with the clear surgical field issue, their tools don't line up. It would require an outside source to get pregnant.
Yes, they would have to be actively seeking that. Yes. They would
have to be aligned to do that together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It's not like if it was, like Mark and Lexi, if they accidentally got pregnant, that could change how you look at things. Kelly and Arizona aren't going to accidentally get pregnant.
That is unlikely.
So yeah, I just think that they're not going to survive that. They're not going to live past that. Which makes me sad.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have anything else to say?
Let's see. We talked about Meredith being cunning. Mm-hmm. We talked about Lexi and the sad situation that she's in right now. She's been in denial this entire time. Derek and Weber. We talked about Bailey and Dr. Warren, which I'm very happy with. Callie in Arizona makes me sad. And the ending is very different from the beginning because you're like, oh my gosh, it's so cute. They were like both unknowingly were trying to set up Teddy and Mark and didn't talk about it. So yeah, that's sad. I think that's all I got.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's rate it. You go first.
All right. So episode is a 4.1.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's setting things up, and the Cali Arizona potential breakup drama to me is very interesting. That's why I feel like it's above the threes. I was actually kind of back and forth between a 4.1 or a 3.9. I didn't think a four even, but I would have gone lower if I did go anything. But yeah, I think you're getting some interesting setting things up with how Meredith interacts with Hunt. You're seeing Weber kind of thrown back into the dynamic as a surgeon instead of the chief. You are getting very interesting, like, drama that's going to build up with Callie in Arizona. So that's the only thing I didn't like about this episode is they're kind of setting it up like, oh, everything we do now has to be for the Harper Avery. So I don't like that that's the storyline they're setting up. So if that's when we get Harper Avery coming back is like to announce that Weber is the winner of the Harper Avery Award, like if that's what we're setting up, it's a bit cliche. It's a bit, it's a bit predictable. But I do think that Weber's going to win a Harper Avery.
Okay. So for me, this episode is higher. It's like a 4.5.
Okay.
I think individually there's a lot of like really great moments and performances, specifically like Lexi at the end is really great. Everything with Bailey and Ben is really good. The scene with Callie and Bailey where she's like, what if I can't do this? The scene with Callie and Mark where she's like, why don't you think you're a good person? You are like, you have things to offer in the world. Meredith confronting Owen and being like, I will actually murder you. So watch your fucking back.
Yeah.
Those are all just like really great scenes individually. The episode overall, I think, is good. The reason I would say it's like less than a 5 for me, because there are parts of it where I was like, wow, I could give this a 5. But then overall, I think it's just fine. Because there are some things where there's like no closure, like the Molly and Todd thing. I was like, what now? Like, what, yeah. But what about them?
Yeah.
And then like there was a couple other things where I was like, this feels unfinished. But yeah, like I think my read on the Richard and Derek scene was that like they are kind of coming back into being like a positive friendship, working relationship type thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, I do think it's a good episode for Derek. 2 in a row. Woohoo.
That's
a hot streak.
Hot streak. Or in beer pong, it is heating up. And one more, they get on fire and they get balls back.
Oh. Then, I think the character growth mark is basically for Mark in this episode, the arc is kind of just accepting the new reality of like, if I do want to get the things that I want, I can't just have sex with everybody. I have to also like invest time in a relationship the same way that like I did prior. So he's kind of have to accepting that new reality of not just starting with sex and then just like hoping it ends up okay.
Right. Right.
So I like that little story. I just love Christina. She's funny in this one. Just being a goober. And I love it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a little higher, 4.5, but, okay. So you predicted Callie and Arizona breaking up. Did I say when?
I said in the next 4 episodes.
Okay. And you predicted Teddy and Mark being together.
And having 12 kids and getting married.
No, but
season.
What was the real one? Just being together.
The real, yeah, I think in a serious prediction, I think that they're going to start, dating. They're going to have a relationship, but I do believe that it is going to be a point of contention for Owen, but Owen is going to start treating Christina poorly, but she's not going to know why.
Okay.
And honestly, maybe the other point of that is Meredith is going to call Owen out and she's going to be like, you need to fix your shit or I'm going to have to tell Christina that you're being a piece of shit because of your jealousy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of where I feel like we're also due for a hallway yelling scene. I feel like we haven't had a hallway argument in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's going to be something like that, like something in their like love square. Now it's like a square now where it's Owen, Teddy, Christina
and Mark
in this kind of like love square. So yeah, that's my official prediction. That's like the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah. And then I was going to ask something else. Oh, Lexi and Alex or Lexi in general in relation to Mark moving on.
I think they're done having sex. No, they're going to have sex. They're going to have more sex. More sex. But it's going to be sad sex. Like getting over things sex. It's no longer going to be making her happy and choosing it for herself. It's going to be the escaping the sadness.
That's exciting.
All consensual sex is exciting.
Yeah. Are there any other predictions you want to make about? Oh, when do you think Weber's going to be chief again?
I thought that was going to be a season 6 finale cliffhanger.
Okay. Okay.
But I also thought that he was going to come back in season six. So, or the end of season six.
Right.
So I, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he has to take over for Derek because Derek dies.
Okay.
I don't know. I need more time on that one. But I think I'm leaning towards a season six finale where he, maybe Weber has a reverse coup and Derek chooses to leave the hospital. And that's the cliffhanger.
Oh, fancy. wait, shoot. I just had another one. It was about somebody else. Oh, you said Ben and Bailey, you said in the next episode they're going to wake up and have had sex tonight and like as the end of this episode.
Yes.
Is there anything else on like a grander scale that you want to predict for them?
Tuck tries to assassinate Ben.
Tuck or Tucker?
The child. George, little baby
Sean
George.
Delaney. Yeah.
Little baby George.
Yeah.
No, I think they, I don't have a grand thing. I don't know if they end up together or if this is just kind of like the reawakening that Bailey needed. It would be really kind of a bummer for her character. Not in like, not that this is a bad thing, but I feel like her character deserves more than just back-to-back monogamous relationships. I think she needs more of a self-exploration period.
Well, some people don't want to just like fuck around.
No,
is
no,
that what
I'm
you
not,
mean?
I just don't want her to marry this guy.
Okay, here's the thing. What is it that you want for her then?
I don't know.
Because when
I'm
you say like self-exploration, I mean, she's been single since the end of season four. So like a full season and a half of being, when really kind of before that, because her and Tucker were doing poorly in season four.
You know, that helps. I didn't realize how long it had been.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm okay with them being together. I don't know his backstory, though.
It was the end of season four, right?
I don't know. I'm trusting you, which
now
is my first mistake.
Myself. Yeah, truly.
But I don't know this guy's backstory. If this guy was also married before, then okay. I'm okay with that more. But I also just don't feel like, I don't know. I'm concerned. I'm just concerned because I'm protective of our Bailey.
Yeah, right. I mean, so they were definitely having problems because season four was when they came in with Tuck because the baby, like the bookcase had fallen on him.
Oh, yeah. That was scary.
Oh, yep. No, it was the end of season five when she says that he gave her an ultimatum. But he had also gone on dates in season five with other people. Like earlier in season five.
So really not that long. She hasn't been single for that long.
It's
if it was the end of season five.
Episode 17 now. And in like two episodes ago, they said something. Richard had been gone for 45 days. So in the course of one episode, Richard was gone for 45 days. So we're back in that thing of like, what is time to Shonda?
Yeah.
And I do think there is something to like their relationship being tumultuous, you know, and like not being like they weren't, everything was great. And then he was like, we should have a divorce. And she has been very focused on herself up until this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do think if people are married and they get a divorce and they want to have quote unquote self-exploration, be that time alone, to like figure out, you know, who they are and if they still want the same things, or maybe it's, you know, sowing those oats, hitting up the dating apps, getting it in. But
getting
some people
it in on and around.
Some people want, you know, just want to have a nice, stable, monogamous relationship. And that's fine. If it works for them, it's fine.
Yeah. You know? I get what you're saying.
But I also see where you're coming from. I just think we have to remember specifically the characters we're speaking of.
Yes.
And I think Bailey is, I mean, she says when her and Ben are talking, like, I'm not looking for You know, he says, I don't think either of us are looking for anything trashy. And she's like, no. They're not looking to be like fuck buddies.
Right.
So.
That's all I got, though. I think that's it for me.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you liked this episode. Maybe next time I won't have to talk about Kate Middleton. If someone can just produce her, then I'll shut up about it. But until then, here we are.
Wait, I'd like to make one more official prediction.
Is it where Kate is?
No, I believe that by next episode, we still will not have any answers. In fact, we will have more questions. I'm officially predicting that by next episode, we'll officially have more questions.
I don't want that to be true. I just want her to be okay. And I want everyone to be okay. Okay, anyways. Okay, so this weekend, get stoked. We're going to be hanging out together in Chicago. So if there's anything you guys, especially on our Patreon, if there's anything you guys want to see from us, just make sure you either post on the Discord or you can message me directly or you can email me at graceacademypod@gmail.com. I'm flying up on Friday and then coming home on Monday and super excited about it. We're going to be creating a decent amount of new content. So we're really excited about that. We've got a big day lined up and some sushi.
Oh man, so excited.
So yeah, we're excited to make that for you guys. So do you have something to say or is your finger just having a seizure?
No, I have nothing to say. I'm just like tapping my lip. I'm tapping
couldn't tell
my lip.
If you're like flagging me down.
No, I'd be like,
thank you so much. Just make sure you guys keep sharing on social media. We had more people tagging us on TikTok, which is always so nice. There's like new people on TikTok who are like, oh, I just found this. I've never watched Grey's Anatomy. I'm going to watch it for the first time. And they also don't have any spoilers. So people are like very invested in their journeys. So some of our listeners are going into their comments and being like, oh, you should listen to Grey's Academy Pod. Then I always go and I'm like, thank you so much. And then I also tell the creator, like, yes, come and listen.
Yeah. Come on the podcast. Come join us.
Truly. So thank you guys so much. When you do that, it's just like a really cool other way for new people to find us. And we really appreciate it. And remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilers, no spoilies, don't spoil it, or you may get punched or slapped in the face. Not by me, maybe, but by my bodyguard, who's going to be walking with me at all times now. But we do appreciate you all. We will see you all. See you all. We'll see y'all. We will see you all in the next one.
Nailed it.